so excited for our friend, Bishop Troy Carr, that is here this morning. Faith Temple has long been a friend of Destiny. Can anybody testify of that? Remember back in the day when Faith Temple would like come to our evening services and surprise us, and it would be just a, like a birthday party in the middle of the year. And so we have always, always loved these guys. And I've developed a restaurant relationship. What did you and Brent call it? McChurch? The extension campuses. That's right. So McDonald's is an extension campus. Popeyes is an extension campus. So we like to hit the Mexican restaurants. That's where it's at. But I know that there are several of you in here that know and love this man and his wife and the beautiful church that they pastor. Isn't Faith Temple just, we're so glad that they are here in Rapid City. And let's give it up. So as I welcome Bishop Troy, I just want to thank you for loving this city, for loving this community the way you do, and loving us. You made a good friend of Destiny. Would you welcome Bishop Troy?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning and happy birthday. It's your 27th birthday. You should be excited about that. So let's put our hands together and celebrate the fact that you're 27, or somebody says years young. Praise God. I'm so excited about being here and having the opportunity to minister the word of God to you this morning and just being here. It is rare that we have those of us that are pastors have the opportunity to experience other worship service on Sunday morning, because everybody starts church at 10 a.m. And so you can't be in two places at one time. But I give honor to God, who is the head of my life, and I give honor to Pastor Sean and Kimberly Shoup and First Lady Shoup. Is that, you got used to that yet, hearing that or not? And when Pastor Sean was talking to me, or again in our lunch fellowship, he said, "Well, I want to update you on some things." And he said, "I was getting ready to close out a dating website, and right as I was getting ready to close it, this person popped up." And I was like, "Okay, all right, man, you go. All right, that's some good stuff." And he said, "We matched," and I don't know if that time, if they had talked or not, but maybe they had a couple of conversations. And then he said, "Well, she's a black lady." And I was like, "Okay, all right, I'm not mad about that." And so the story was getting juicier and juicier and juicier. Then he said, so I was keeping my cool up to that point. So the dating website, okay, I'm cool. I'm a black woman, okay, I'm cool. Then he said, "She is in the Church of God in Christ," which is what our denomination is, and that's when I lost it. I said, "What is going on?" And I have to tell the truth. Whenever I preach, it's like truth sermon, serum to me. He said, "She's Church of God in Christ." And I started to think some ways of how we could kidnap, drug, something to get her over to Faith Temple Church. But I'm so excited for the both of you. Obviously, your responsibility is here and to Destiny, but it was just so interesting. Let's praise God for this couple. Amen. Come on, put your hands together. Let's praise God for them. And I still don't know what I'm going to do with Bishop, because I'm a bishop and he's a bishop. So we're going to have a meeting and figure out how we can get this worked out. I want to give honor to my wife. Would you stand, Sister Tawana Carr? I know it's embarrassing, but that's all right. Just turn around. You look so good. Turn around. Let him just looking like you're looking. And I tell the people at Faith Temple and wherever I go that she's like the crispy skin on my Popeye's chicken. And you know you can't get better than that. And so we give honor to her and to one of the ministers that has come from us, and to you, the Destiny family. I Before I usually speak, I have this this little chorus that I sing. Maybe you might know it, and maybe you might not, but it is the testimony of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Altogether, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. I thank God for being saved. I thank God for being sanctified. I thank God for being filled with his precious Holy Ghost. And one of the reasons why I love singing that song and I use it as my testimony, because it's nothing that I have done of myself. It's only because of his grace. It's only because of his mercy. His great salvation, so rich and free. Will you turn into the word of God on this morning? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at the 12th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at the 12th verse, and I will be using the NLT on this morning, the New Living Translation. Okay, I trust this. All right, there it is. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we shall share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ears say, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen. While the more honorable parts do not require this special care, so God has put the body together, such an extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. I'm going to say that again. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is part of it. My sermon title on this morning is, I Was Born for Purpose. Will you repeat that after me? I was born for purpose. Now, we're going to do this a couple of times, but I want you to high-five somebody, just one person, because we're going to do it maybe five times if I don't get too excited. But high-five somebody and say, I was born for purpose. In my studies of birthdays, I probably learned more in this study time than I've ever known about birthdays. So this is what I've learned. The fact that the idea that everyone should celebrate their birthday is weirdly not very old. Not until the 19th century, perhaps around 1860 or 1880, did middle-class Americans commonly do so. And not until the early 20th centuries were birthday celebrations a tradition nationwide. In fact, the song Happy Birthday is not even or not quite 100 years old. Throughout history, there are scattered examples of birthday festivals around the globe, but the honorees tended to be either rulers, such as Egyptian pharaohs, or powerful members of the upper class. For a while, a similar pattern held in the United States. Birthdays were for rich people or national heroes. Americans celebrated George Washington's birthday, for instance. But for everyone else, a birthday, if they even knew the date, was just another day. Birthdays are a time for families and friends to come together and celebrate, and the anniversary of your own personal beginning. Yes, another year older, another year wiser, another year under your belt. How many of you, you might be chronologically 50 or 60, but you still 34. I am legally bound to not tell anybody my wife's age, and I guess I don't quite understand that. But it tickled me because, yes, you are another year older, hopefully another year wiser, and another year under your belt. But have you ever wondered where the celebration of birthdays began? I realized that in studying about birthdays, at one point, there were no birthdays until there was a calendar. And that makes sense because if there's no calendar, then there's no way to tell when your birthday is. I found out that birthdays were once believed to be of pagan cultural origin. And the religion of Christianity believes that people were born with original sin. In conjunction with early birthdays being joined with pagan gods, it's led those of the Christian religion to believe that birthdays were celebrations of evil. This went on for a very long time, and it wasn't until the 4th century that Christians changed their ways of thinking and they began celebrating the birth of Jesus, also known as we know as Christmas. As I was thinking about birthdays, I thought about, well, when's the first birthday? Who had the first birthday? And we find that in Genesis 2 and 7 that says, and God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. There are all types, as I was doing my study of birthdays, there are all types of famous peoples that we celebrate, George Washington and Dr. Martin Luther King and all famous birthdays. And I thought to myself, who has the most famous birthday? And I settled on Matthew 1:21 that says, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I'm very sensitive about birthdays. My mom is no longer with us. Her birthday would have been on Friday. My birthday is on March 11th, and yes, that is a hint. I'm not ashamed. March 11th, write it in your calendar, put it in your form. I take gift cards, money cards, cash, anything from someone's in the kitchen, a coupon from there, anything, just to give you some ideas so you don't have to struggle so hard. Even your birthday, and we celebrate, and some of us, depending on your age, has gotten to the point that you don't have birthday parties. I'll turn 62 on the 11th. Another hint. And then what do you do? I mean, you know, I don't do a party. We may go out. We may, I don't know what we're going to do or what my wife is going to do. But it gets to a point where it's so repetitious you don't tend to do a whole lot. It's amazing to me, though, there are then some people who have birthday celebrations all week long. They take the whole week. You were born on one day. How many of you are like that? You take the whole week for your birthday. Nobody, one person would admit that. And one of the interesting things about doing that is, I understand the celebration of your birth, but what did you do to be born? Why are we celebrating you? You know, really, and I'm joking, but I'm really serious. It really, our birthday should really be Mother's and Father's Day. They're the ones that, ain't nobody gonna give me an amen. You didn't do anything but just be born. They did all, in fact, mothers clap. Mothers did the most heavy lifting to bring you into this world. I know ladies should be giving me an amen, clap your hands. I was with my wife during the birth of our sons, and every birth, I would shake my head and say, thank God for being a man. I don't mean no harm. And your birthday. And today you're celebrating your 27th birthday. Before you have a birthday, you first must have a conception. There must be conception before the birth. And we obviously know in the natural sense what conception is. I know the kids are in the room, so I don't need to go any. You all adults understand what conception is. And the church said, all right. We're talking about a spiritual conception. And so I called Pastor Parker and asked him about the origins, about the conception of destiny. And he talked to me about how they were serving in other churches and then the Methodist church. Is it the Methodist church? Okay, they talked to Tanny and Pastor Parker about starting a church, and both of them like, no, we can't do it. What are you talking about? And through the course of some time, God began to speak to them, and the conception of destiny was brought to be. And after much prayer and after much deliberation, after much organizing, we had the birth of Destiny Foursquare. Anybody know the date, your birth date? March 8th, 98. March 8th of 98, Destiny Foursquare was born. And it was amazing to me. I already had the title of today's sermon, that I was born for purpose. And this is what Pastor Parker told me your mission statement is. Hoping the spiritually hungry experience God and discover purpose and destiny through free and open worship, biblical training, and a release into personal ministry. High five a different person and tell them, I was born for purpose. All right, very good. This is going to get tougher and tougher. You're going to have to start. After you've exhausted the people around you, you're going to have to get up and find somebody new. I was born for
purpose. Jesus told Nicodemus that you must be born again. That's how you become a part in our scripture text. As Paul was talking to the Corinthians, he wasn't talking about the natural body, but he was using the natural body as an analogy for the spiritual body. And Nicodemus, when Jesus was telling him he must be born again, Nicodemus got confused. How in the world, at 62 years old, can I go back into my mother's womb and be born? Jesus had to explain to him that no, Nicodemus, is not a natural birth, it's a spiritual birth. And so when we talk about being a part of the body and when we talk about there being purpose, we're not talking obviously about the natural. We're talking about the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. And Jesus told Nicodemus that if you want to be a part of this body, if you want to join the kingdom of God, you have to be born of the spirit and of the water. Once you are born into the kingdom of Jesus Christ by accepting him as your Lord and Savior, you become a part of the body. And many times, those of us that are here and have birthdays and celebrate our birthdays, at some part in your life, you ask the question, why was I born? Some people spend a lifetime asking the question, why was I born? High five another person and tell them I was born for purpose. All right, I love it. All right, y'all. All right, I was born. Just one person. I was born for purpose. And the reason why you were born, quite frankly, is for two reasons. Number one, it was the will of God. Quite simply, you were born because it was God's will for you to exist on the earth. Can you imagine that? That I'm born because of the will of God, because of the desire of God, because the purpose of God. And who can know the mind of God? And somebody asks you, why were you born? Because God wanted it to be so. Amen. The second reason that you were born is the same purpose that God told Adam and Eve. He told them to be fruitful and to multiply. Why were you born? You were born to be fruitful and you were born to multiply. When Paul was writing to the church of Corinth, it was usually addressing some issue that they had in the church. And so we see here that his theme for our scripture text is that we are many members and yet one body. It's important for you to know that since we're celebrating your birthday, that you are a body. You are one. You're not necessarily, as you are individuals, you are still one. And Paul uses this example of the body having a fight. And the hands didn't like the feet and didn't like the knees and the ears and the eyes got to fighting. And then there was jealousy in the body. Do you know that this country spends billions of dollars on hair products? Am I right or wrong? And when you think about it and you ask yourself, what does hair do? I mean, it ain't like the heart and the lungs and the... But we spend billions of dollars. More than that, we spend on facial care products. Am I right or wrong? And we spend all this money on outer things and they get the glory. But the kidney say, hey, wait a minute. You all beautifying the hair and beautifying the face and doing all these things, lotions and creams and all these different things. How often do you think about me? And everybody, if I ask you what body part you would want to be, everybody would say, okay, I'll be the hair, I'll be the eyes, I'll be. But who wants to be the intestines? Anybody volunteering? We need an intestine. We need somebody to volunteer to be either, you can either be the small intestine or the large. Any volunteers. But Paul was saying, you let your intestine start messing up. You let your large intestines block up. Everything gonna hurt. The eyes gonna know it. The ears gonna know it. Your whole body is going to know it. And sometimes we give more credit to the things, as Paul was saying, that are seen, and give little. How many of you all want to be a knee? Look at your knee. When you get home, look at your. I don't know of any pretty knees. The skin is wrinkly. It looks like an alien. It looks like almost chicken skin. But you let your skin on your knee not stretch, you won't be able to walk. And so many times we glorify the different glamorous parts of the body, but we don't pay attention to those parts of the body that are just as necessary, but that are on the inside of us, and we still need them. High five one person again and tell them, I was born for purpose. I love it. I was born for purpose. And as we have, as Paul is telling the Corinthians about the different parts of the body and the need for the parts of the body, all the parts, the different parts, the ones that are seen and unseen, we must work together to have a functional body. When your body is not working together, we call it dysfunction. Your eyes, I went to the optometrist years ago. I didn't think I needed glasses. So I went to the optometrist. My wife was with me because we went to the same, were you with me? We went to the same optometrist. So I did all the exams and all that, and the doctor comes out and says, Mr. Carr, you're gonna need some glasses. And I looked at the doctor like I was an optometrist myself, and I said, I'm not wearing any glasses. I'm with the same optometrist today because she looked at me and she said, Mr. Carr, if I must say, you legally probably shouldn't be driving without some glasses. So if my eyes were not well, how would my feet and my other parts of the body get to where it needs to be? You are important. Each and every one of you, as we celebrate the 27th birthday and as we talk about your being a body is made up of individuals, not just some of you, but all of you. Destiny needs every person in this church to be operating with purpose. But here's what the devil does. The devil tells you you can't sing good enough. You don't look good enough. You're not tall enough. You're not light enough. You're not dark enough. You're not this and you're not that. And some of us will have grown up in homes where we were told that we're not any good, and we were told that we were dumb, and we were told that we were amount to nothing. But I'm here to let you know that you were born for purpose, and somebody ought to celebrate by clapping your hands to realize that you have purpose. You're not an accident. You're not an afterthought. You're not a mistake. But God desired that you be born. If he didn't want it, it would not have happened. And so we must stop listening to the enemy who tells us that you don't have purpose. We need to stop listening to the enemy that will give us a lazy spirit and say, let them do it. Lady Shoop, she can do it all. They don't need me. She can do it all. I was looking at the program on today. I don't mean no harm. I ain't trying to start no, Miss Shoop, I ain't trying to start no trouble up in here. But I saw Pastor Shoop. And with a church of this size and this many people, we all need to do our part in building up the body of Jesus Christ. I don't know what your specific purpose is, and sometimes that can be the hardest part. But I do know that you have purpose and you have meaning at Destiny Foursquare. I do not believe that God has you here just to be eye candy. Look at your name and say, you're not eye candy. I need you to work. Now, I am an indoor person, and I got to Rapid City in 87 in the Air Force. I was a missile launch officer out at Ellsworth Air Force Base. And I am not ashamed of the fact that I have smooth hands. Those of us with smooth hands, we not chopping no wood, we not wrestling no horse, we not outside. God, how many of you have shook the hand of a bull rider? It's like shaking a rock. It is. Am I right? That's not my hand. My hands are smooth and supple. But you need people that have smooth hands. And we all can't have smooth hands. Somebody has to get out there and bale the hay and you know. So I don't know what your specific purpose at Destiny is, except to let you know that you were born for purpose. One last time, different instruction. High five two different people and tell them, I was born for purpose. You were born with purpose. And if you don't know what it specifically is in this body, then ask God. God, I heard your word on this morning that I had purpose. And I don't quite know what it is. Will you show me? Talk with your pastor. Pastor, I understand that I haven't been doing everything that I need to be doing in this body. Will you pray with me about what my purpose is? One of the easiest things, as I close, to know what your purpose is to start with What do you like to do? If you don't like kids, children's church is not for you. Don't. If you can't stay on key, if you can't sing on key, don't. Don't be it. We have pot bless at our church, and so I tell the members, if you can't cook, and we have an inside joke at the church, just bring the ice. Well, you might not be able to work with the children, you might not be able to sing, you might not be able to cook, but there is something that you are able to do. Find that thing and get to doing what God has asked you to do. So that on your next birthday, on the 28th birthday, you'll be able to say, I am part of the body of Destiny Foursquare Church. Will you stand to your feet? I'm just going to pray, and then I don't know what your tradition is, so Pastor Shoup will take it after our prayer. Dear God, we thank you so much for your loving kindness and tender mercy. We thank you. Some of us, it may not be all of us, but some of us have struggled with our purpose. Thank you for reminding us on today that we were born with purpose. Generally in life, and more specifically to work in this Destiny Foursquare, in this church, in this ministry, as we celebrate 27 years. God, I make a commitment today not to let another month, 6 months, and definitely not till the next birthday before I find out what you want me to do in Destiny Foursquare. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank Bishop Carr for sharing this morning. So good. I think there's wisdom in waking up every morning. You can be seated. In waking up every morning and just asking the Lord, what's my purpose for today? Lord, would you open the doors that need to be opened and close the doors that I don't need to walk through? And as I'm walking through this day, Lord, I want to do what you have for me. Amen.